Now, the second one was that because of that delay, that financing package fell through.
How convenient.
Mm. That is probably the proximate cause of why Great Northern Paper under Inexcon at the time decided to sell their hydro system in order to raise the money necessary to pay for the rest of the number 11 rebuild.
And that began the downfall.
And that began the dominoes falling, okay? Because they sold off a major asset and it just put them into a very critical and basically fatal financial situation. So they got the money they needed to pay off the rebuild, but they lost control of their hydro system, which is the largest privately owned one in the world. And a year after that, the company filed for bankruptcy.
How?
So that is the story of how we got to the hydro issue here in this area, in rather abbreviated form, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about the damage that these environmentalists do, and the depths that they will go to prevail, these are real life stories. I mean, like I said, I've got the documentation on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And it's an abysmal history.
Well, two questions come to mind. Is there no way that we can get legislation passed in the state to prohibit the feds from taking land or making parts of Maine a national whatever, forest, monument, park?
That I really don't know for sure. My guess is that you cannot preempt federal government actions, okay? The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And federal laws, unless there are generally specific exceptions that would allow stricter law or different law, federal laws trump state laws.
Well, to my knowledge, there's nothing in the Constitution. In fact, there's something that specifically says what the federal government can own. To my knowledge, there's nothing that says they can own land for national parks or monuments. Has that been tried?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I think that in that there are so many of these national parks and other related
things,
facilities out there,
mm-hmm.
that probably they've determined somewhere along the line that that's perfectly legal to do. I'm not saying that they don't have that right or power, and I can't say that they do or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the problems is, and if we go back to one of your earlier question here about people who buy big tracts of land and they might want to do something with it, like make it into a national park. And Roxanne Quimby certainly has that interest, and I know that because I am on a working group with her. She understands the realities that are that it will probably never happen, but it is still her personal goal that it would happen. And there are those of us on her working group that certainly totally disagree with that philosophy, and she knows that. She respects that.
Mm-hmm.
But the federal government would have to agree to accept a parcel of land to create something out of it, like a park or a preserve or whatever. And when she has met with them in the past, they have turned her down cold. The National Park Service is underfunded. They don't have enough money to maintain the facilities that they have. Therefore, the question that I really have is, why would they even think that they'd be going out and seeking additional national parks? Well, if you go back to the listening session,
mm-hmm.
and it's on America's Great Outdoors Initiative or whatever, they're looking at ways to try to find money to do some more of these things, apparently. People just kind of need to sit back and take an inventory, you know. And when you ask people, if you ask me, do I like parks? Of course I like parks, and most people like parks. But you can't have a whole country full of parks and have nothing else, okay? And you can't, what's the sense of having this Maine Woods National Park that will bring very few visitors to it? Unlike what their feasibility study claimed, you know, 10 years ago. This is a little bit too remote, and it doesn't have the amenities of an Acadia National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they talk about there are 3 million people who go to Acadia, we get 3 million visitors up here every year and whatever, there is no evidence whatsoever to support that. None.
Huh.
There is nothing overly unique about this area that they would like to create a national park out of. It is just simply a heavily forested area. Their real goal is, again, to preserve it
from
people being around it. Okay?
And that's sort of the opposite of a park.
Well, it's like a reverse prison. Okay? They want to lock us out as opposed to lock us up. Okay? So they want to lock us out of our historical area here in which we have lived for decades and in some cases centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to move us away from this area so it can be preserved. And there is no compelling reason to want to do that. And the other part, you know, you throw into this thing, just more of a utilitarian aspect of it. This country is over $14 trillion in debt as we speak here today. $14 trillion. I don't even know how to write that number. Okay?
It's long, though.
Pretty much. It would occupy most of the page. Okay? And we're talking about taking on more debt to finance useless activities that aren't needed, wanted, or desired from the people who live here. What's wrong with that picture?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, of course.
Well, let me ask you about the coalition. Can you tell me a little bit about it, how people can support it, who might want to become members?
Yeah, the coalition formed formally in January 2001. As I said earlier, it was formed around two major purposes. To boost economic development in the four-county area, which is Aroostook, Piscataquis, Penobscot, and Somerset.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for those four counties, like I said earlier, was because elements of those four counties would have areas designated as part of this national park. So increase and improve the economic development of the northern part of the state, and to adamantly oppose the creation of a Maine Woods National Park or anything related to it. It has gone through various transitions over those we're almost 10 years, it'll be 10 years next month. But we have gone from being just a planning group of how to start thinking about issues and what to develop for items and interests and whatever, to actually take an action. And so we went to the listening session in September, but the format was such that we weren't able to get our message out, and so some of us left before the final session, which was the one where they had people who would actually be able to have a chance to say something.
Mm-hmm.
But we were prepared to make a presentation, not to just give one or two line answers
in a small room
to questions.
Yeah, right.
But we did send our comments on to the Department of the Interior. We have advocated with the legislature on different issues.
The federal legislature or state?
With the state, mm-hmm. primarily, a little bit with the federal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tried to put out some press releases from time to time in opposition to the National Park and some of these other ideas that surface out there from some of the environmental groups. We were a supporter of the Plum Creek Initiative because we felt that here was a company trying to bring some significant development to the state of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to use 8%, up to 8% of the land that they own here for some kind of more intensive development.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have thought that they are asking to dismantle the world, you know. And what they didn't understand, too, is that the Plum Creek deal was a 30-year plan, not a one- or a two-year or three-year subdivision plan. It's a 30-year proposal. It's a blueprint for the future. So we know now what Plum Creek would like to do over the long haul. The environmentalists hated the plan, and they hated it because they couldn't get their arms around a 30-year plan. They hated it because they thought it was going to destroy the North Maine woods. None of this could be further from the truth. I mean, destroy the North Maine woods.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that having 900 camp lots for people who might like to have the privilege of having a cottage or a cabin or a home on a lake in the state of Maine is a bad thing, you're not part of the Maine tradition. We cherish those things in this state for people who are outdoors people and they want a mm-hmm. place at a lake or whatever. And it's too bad that we can't bring these other folks on board with that idea of what it is like to be an individual and a citizen of this country who has the freedom to do things. The way that they would try to control us and shut our economies down, whatever, is extremely reminiscent to me of what I would consider to be a communist type of government. And in fact, I've said in the past, I call these people, and of course I'm great for this, they are land communists. Okay? A land communist is one who wants to take from the private sector all that they own and give it to the government. That's what communism is. Everything is government run and controlled
and owned.
And as a citizen, you own nothing. And I submit to you that these environmental groups are looking to do that with the Northern Forest Compact as the bigger item in our part of the country, and by doing things like a Maine Woods National Park. If you can destroy an area's economy, then you won a major part of your battle to overcome the objections to such a bad idea. So the Maine Woods Coalition is out there trying to fight back against these people and these proposals. And we're having some success with it. You know, we haven't succeeded in everything we've done, but we certainly have succeeded in a number of things. And the biggest thing is making people aware. But as we said earlier, we've got to do more of the awareness issue, especially with our folks in the southern part of the state.
So what kind of people are members of the Maine Woods Coalition? Are they lumberjacks or are they paper people?
It's a variety. And the way the coalition is put together is that we have a steering committee. Mm-hmm. And within the steering committee, we have different categories, everything from large landowners, small landowners, medium landowners, business people, just citizens of the or residents of the area, people who have a property on a lake. You know, you don't have to be a full-time resident of the state of Maine to be a participant. You can be somebody who has a summer home as long as you're in the four-county area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty eclectic group. And the thing that gives that group its strength is the diversity of it because of the different interests that are represented. And if we take a stand on something, we have to do it with at least a two-thirds vote. And when you look at anybody from a large landowner to a small businessman to somebody who is a conservation type individual, not an environmental person.
Preservation,
there's
right.
a big difference, mm-hmm. okay? A Maine guide type of thing. When you can get a majority or a super majority of people like that on board on an issue, then you get a pretty good consensus.
How do I join?
You go to the website, mainewoodscoalition.org,
mm-hmm.
and there is an application form there. And you don't have to pay any dues or anything like that. It's free. You can make a donation if you like. But mainewoodscoalition.org will do it for you.
Is there anything else that I've forgotten to ask you that you think might be important?
Well, you've probably covered the field pretty well, and so I think we're pretty well set.
Great. Thank you very much, Gene.
Thanks, Michelle.
This is Michelle Anderson signing off. I hope you stick around for the next time we talk to someone who has our interests at heart north of Bangor.